Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel reading from Luke is meant to remind us of two other stories from the Bible, the story of the temptation in the Garden of Eden and the story of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Both of these stories are featured as key moments when God's people listened to the temptations of the devil and turned away from him. Tempting God's people is one of the devil's favorite pastimes. God created Adam and Eve to be the crown of his creation. He made Israel to be his chosen people. He established King David so that his lineage would reign forever. And as soon as God looked upon them with his favor, the devil went to work to see how he could break what God was building. He tempted them to abandon God's word and listen to his lies instead. So when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River and God proclaimed, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased," the devil was ready with his old bag of tricks to deceive yet another of God's servants into betraying him. Now, at the end of his 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus was hungry, and Satan swept in with his first temptation. He said, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Now, this is not the first time that Satan has tempted with food. When he approached Adam and Eve in the garden, he tempted them with the fruit of the forbidden tree, telling them that it would open their eyes and make them like God, knowing good and evil. And because of that lie, they saw that fruit was desirable, and they ate it. And in the wilderness, while Israel was following God's cloud from place to place, they became hungry. And they believed the lie that they had been led out of Egypt only to die of hunger and thirst. But when the devil tempted Jesus with hunger, he did not succumb. Instead, he quoted scripture and he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Now, it wasn't that Jesus was never allowed to miraculously create bread. As we know, he created bread for multitudes of people on at least two occasions. But Jesus served God in his timing and for his purposes. When he made bread, it was to serve others, not to serve himself. So then the devil took Jesus to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and told him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Just like when Satan tempted Adam and Eve with the thought that they could have the authority and the glory of God, he tempts Jesus with a similar promise, that he would be ruler over everything. But Jesus trusted in the will of his Father in heaven. Again, he responded by quoting scripture, and he said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." It's not that Jesus wasn't supposed to be given this authority one day. After all, when he was raised from the dead, Jesus tells his disciples that he had been given all authority in heaven and on earth. But the devil wanted Jesus to take a shortcut. He wanted him to give in to instant gratification. But, unlike Adam, Jesus trusted in his Father's will, even if that meant he would have to suffer first. Then the devil grew tired of being thwarted by Scripture, so he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and quoted Scripture himself, saying, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Now Jesus saw how the devil was twisting God's word, so he quoted scripture back to him, saying, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." With this quote, Jesus was referring back to the time when Israel put God to the test in the wilderness, where they were thirsty, and they kept asking, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Because they doubted whether or not the Lord was going to take care of them. But unlike Israel, Jesus knew that God was with him. Then the devil left. Having been thwarted at every turn, his old tricks did not work on Jesus. This time, he could not tempt God's servant into turning against him. He would have to try a different strategy. So he left and waited for an opportune time to strike again. And the next time we see Satan reappear in Luke's narrative is right before the Passion, where it says, "Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers about how he might betray him to them." You see, the devil's new strategy was simply to kill Jesus. Eliminating God's faithful servant would have to do. After all, it would still be an effective way of destroying God's plan for redemption. Or would it? You see, Jesus bested the devil already when he came to tempt him. And he beat him again when he came to kill him. Where we fall, Jesus stood firm. Where we die, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus was strong where we are weak. Before him, Satan could not stand victorious. Jesus did what we could not. But still, where does that leave us? To find out, we can turn once more to Luke's gospel, where Satan is mentioned by name yet a third time. This is when Jesus foretold that Peter would deny him three times. But he also says to Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Even though Satan was beaten by Jesus, he still demanded to have what belonged to him. Like Peter, Satan accuses each one of us of being guilty under God's law. And he demands to have us for himself. But through the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives us faith so that the devil cannot have us. Jesus endured temptation, suffering, and death on our behalf so that he could save us from the grip of the devil, to whom all sinners belong. And now that all authority in heaven and on earth belong to him, he prays continually on our behalf, just like he prayed for Peter, forgiving our sins, granting us faith, and rescuing us from the hand of Satan. And for that reason, even during this season of Lent, we can rejoice. Amen. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Please rise.